Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Hey, hello everybody and welcome. We're back. It's been a while, been a few weeks, but finally we got it together and we are live and in living color. I am JT, aka the Master, and this is the FSP Crew Show. Got a great show in store for you. Got a few of my esteemed co-hosts that I'll bring on in a minute, but we got a great show in store for you. We talk about some baseball. No. We're talking about some basketball. We're talking about some football. And I know these two guys got some opinions on one of the subjects I want to talk about. And whatever else may come into my mind at the present time. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again. It's 347-637-3220. The place to be. If you want to talk to the Master JT, and that would be me or my friends that I'm about to bring in right now. Without further ado, let's bring in my esteemed co-host, my fellow Jersey guy. Double J is what I call him, a brother from another mother. What's up there, Jeff?
Hey, Jerry. What's going on tonight?
Feeling good. Feeling refreshed, even though it's been steamy on the west, East Coast. It's been steamy across the country, and I know my next guest, it's been really steamy out there. Let's bring in my, what should I call him besides his name? I call him the founding father, the one who started it all, the end all, the be all. I know he loves all that accolades. None other than Victor Gardner. What's up, Vic?
The Alpha and the Omega. I want to thank you. I will praise it on that. You know why? Because the
why?
Juice is loose. And you know I got a Bronco waiting for you.
Oh,
right
God.
Now, I-95. Stand alive. I-95.
Oh, my God.
Is loose.
You know what?
He's gonna be having a comeback party with R. Kelly and Usher. All the women
come
get
on.
In free.
Come on, man! I can't believe you went there with that one. Wow! Well, fellas, it's all the way live in professional sports. I don't even know where to start from. Let's start with this. How about a friend of yours and mine, especially you and Jeff's, that happens to be in one of the most notable teams in all the NFL? In fact, they call it America's team. In fact, all over America, these guys are getting in trouble. Talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Seems like it's just the culture. I don't know what's going on. But all I can say is that Ezekiel Elliott, what the hell are you doing? Before this, he was seen sitting up top next to a female and observing a parade, if I'm not mistaken, and decided to observe her boobs in all natural. So we decided to lift up her shirt. Now, that's not... It can be portrayed as assault. Quite naturally, she didn't press any kind of charges. But it's just another blemish because he's still being investigated by a, I think it's a sexual assault, coming out of college or something like that. And then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, at Sunday, in the wee hours of Sunday morning, there's a ruckus that took place at a bar in called the Clutch Bar. That assault took place, and he's the named person in there. And before today, there was an investigation on. Now, the assault offense that occurred on July 16th at this Clutch Bar has been suspended due to the lack of a complaint. Dallas detectives made several attempts to contact the victim through various ways, but at this time have not been able to make contact. To date, no witnesses have come forward to provide any additional information about this incident. Now, he wasn't arrested, and police didn't name him or anyone else as suspect in this alleged assault. But his exact involvement in this remains unconfirmed, and although the investigation has been suspended, the NFL spokesman told NFL Network's Mike Garofalo that the league is still looking into the matter. Now, before I go any further and bring you guys in, I want to say one more thing. Supposedly, he was bracing for some type of suspension from the NFL, supposedly sometime this week, I think a week before training camp started, which is next week. Seems like we were talking about this before, Victor, that these guys have time on their hands before they actually get to work and under the team's umbrella. And he's not the only one, but he's probably the most visible one right now. I want to bring Jeff in. I know that was long-winded, but I want to bring Jeff in and get his opinion on Mr. Ezekiel. Jerry Jones has talked to him already about the incident. What's your thoughts there, Jeff?
You know, I mean, it's a little bit funny because supposedly he allegedly punched the DJ in the face, and the DJ is one of these guys who does not talk to 5-0, and he gave them a phony name, a phony phone number, a phony address. I don't know the motivation, because some guy punched me in the face, especially a guy with a lot of money. I might say a little to 5-0. You know, maybe he's looking to approach Ezekiel later on and say, hey, you know, I did a solid for you. How about throw a little coin my way? But, you know, this Ezekiel, you know, I don't know him personally, but, you know, he needs to realize who he is and wise up a little bit. You know, I mean, you know, he doesn't have to stay home every night. He's a young guy. He wants to go to the club, but, you know, he's got to be much more careful. Like, maybe he can get the private room in the club or something, because the position he's in, you know, there's going to be people trying to provoke him and that sort of thing. And I remember many years ago, Jim Kelly, when he was with the Bills, and, you know, it wasn't always a love fest with the fans, and he built, he built a very large home in the Buffalo suburbs, and, you know, he had a huge basement, which was basically a bar, and, you know, he was a little older than Ezekiel Elliott, and he'd entertain at home, and, which is pretty smart for a lot of reasons. And then, of course, you know, a lot of the fans are saying, oh, he doesn't like to rub elbows with the locals. Thinking, no, he's smart, because he doesn't want to have to go to a club and deal with all kinds of knuckleheads. And this way, you know, if he has a few, he doesn't have to worry about it when he's home. And he doesn't have to worry about people trying to provoke him, his friends, his teammates, his brothers, whoever. And it was very smart on his part to do most of his entertaining at home. You know, that might not be a good option for Elliot, but, you know, he's got to be careful. I mean, he could get suspended. I mean, he's got so much talent, and, you don't want to see him, mess that up, but, he's got to smarten up a little bit.
Victor, what's your take?
The North does not forget. Pass the message. Listen, Jeff made a good point about, you know, having the private bar that Jim Kelly did in his basement upstate New York. Invite who you want. You can control the atmosphere. You can control what is done in that area because it's your house. Now, if somebody gets unruly, you kick them out. You know, if there are people that you don't know, you say, well, hey, Jim, you brought him to my house. Why'd you bring this cat to my house? Da-da-da-da-da. Now, the story goes, and I'm not going to make Zeke the bad guy in this completely, surprisingly. The story goes that the DJ was making some comments or did some things or said some things to a female person in Zeke's party. So Zeke stepped in, Ezekiel Elliott, stepped in and defended her honor, so to speak, and knocked the guy out. Now, the individual that posted the video on YouTube or whatever case may be, he's not cooperating. As you guys said, the victim is not cooperating. And there's two things I'm thinking here. One is what Jeff said. Later down the line, it's going to be some type of extortion, whether it's tickets, it's whatever. Jerry Jones will then get involved, if he has not done so already. Because, you know, Jerry Jones and owners, they have their own detectives, they have their own people, and they will find the correct folks and, you know, either pay them off, or if it's too damaging to them and the organization, let the guy go. If you notice, the NFL has not given up its investigation on this situation because they continue to investigate even though the police have stopped. That's one of the things that took place when Ray Rice's incident occurred. That was one of the new laws or rules or regulations that took place. Now, whether he did this as a chivalrous situation or chivalrous action is beside the point. He's had several run-ins. He was doing 170. I mean, I've done that before, but I'm not a star athlete. I'm not a person that's of interest in any situation. I'm not Ezekiel Elliott. But coupled with that, coupled with the flashing of a young woman, which can be considered sexual assault. It can be considered sexual assault. Because it was unwanted sexual action toward that woman. Flashing her breast is not, you know, hey, I'll let you do it. So he has to understand, not only does that organization have a bullseye on his chest, but he, being such a young player coming out of college, has a bullseye on his chest. And one thing I read, someone posted a comment on a Facebook page or a Facebook forum saying, this goes back to Urban Meyer. Because there have been a lot of Ohio State players and Florida players under Urban Meyer that have made it to the NFL and have also had discipline issues. Now, I get it. They're young. We all do dumb things when we're young. But some of us do more dumb things than others. And when you have a spotlight on you, such as an NFL player, a star NFL player, you have to learn to separate yourself from certain situations and certain people. Now, is that going to hurt some feelings? Yeah, it sure is. But if your lifespan in the NFL for a typical player is 3 years, and let's say Zeke's is going to be 8 to 10, because he's that good of a specimen, and the offensive line is just that good. then for 8 to 10 years, if your friends can't understand that they need to change to help their friend who's supporting them and giving them funds and the places they need to go to need to change, then so be it. And don't make me sound like Michael Vick when I say this, but his words were misconstrued with about Colin Kaepernick. He was just telling Colin Kaepernick, hey, look, fix yourself up and, you know, do your thing, but, you know, come at it from a different angle. I didn't take it as he was coming to sell out. I'm not telling Ezekiel to sell out.
Oh, boy. You don't want me to... I can't believe you went there. Oh boy! Hey Jeff, you're gonna hear two black men get quite nasty here.
Oh,
I tell you that right now.
Hey, look. First of all, I'm siding with Shannon Sharp. Just to let you know, but I do understand Michael Vick. But that's not the point. I'm talking about.
I don't understand that. That's BS.
Well,
I don't understand that.
Well, the point is,
ain't no point there.
Can I finish talking about Zeke?
Go ahead, man.
The point is, Zeke needs to do some adjusting in his life. And I don't know if it's his belief in I'm untouchable or it's his maturity, but something needs to change. Now we're about to argue, so I'm going to put my side on mute as I listen to you because I want to yell and interrupt your benevolent yammering. Go ahead.
Well, it's a coincidence that you decided to go that route because that was my next subject, like I said. Michael Vick was interviewed a few days ago on Monday on FS1 Speak for Yourself on Monday, and he thought that Kaepernick's struggles are rooted with his image. And Michael Vick said this: the first thing we got to get Colin to do is cut his hair. Listen. I'm not up here to be trying to be politically correct, but even if he puts cornrows in it, I don't think he should represent himself that way in terms of just the hairstyle. Just go clean cut. Why not? You're already dealing with a lot of controversy surrounding this issue. What he needs to do is try to be presentable. Come on, man. This is 2017. Are you kidding me? This sounds like Al Jolson days. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? With blackface. Come, are you kidding me?
Now,
that
Jerry.
Wait a minute. Stop. Don't even interrupt me because I'm on it right now. When a black man comes out and says he's got to go this route, because quite naturally, it has nothing to do with his hair. It's got nothing to do basically with his play. In my opinion, it's got everything to do with his stance and the people that don't like his stance in kneeling. Not even looking at what he's kneeling for. They're just looking because he's kneeling and it says disrespecting the flag. Now, I got a problem with that when Michael Vick says you got to clean your image up. What's that got to do with anything? Even if he does clean his image up, it's not going to change. The opinion of the majority of people that don't like what he did, opinion will not change. So when anybody who agrees with that is living in 1930, 1948, maybe even living in wherever, because that has nothing to do with anything. Now, do you want to respond?
Of course I do. Now, here's the deal.
No,
I wasn't born in 1930. I wasn't born in 1930. You can speak to that.
I was born in 1954.
I know. You know I know. Here's the thing. Shannon Sharp, since you brought up the what Michael Vick said, and he said a lot more than just that because I was watching the live interview. But Shannon Sharp, you know, he made the point that Michael Vick had to go that route because Michael Vick was a convicted felon. He had done some things, and if he wanted to get back in the NFL, he had to conform to certain situations. And that is true. because Michael Vick needed to clean up his image from being a criminal. Now, Colin Kaepernick came back on Twitter and or Facebook or whatever it was, and indirectly directed some comments toward what Michael Vick said. He referenced the Stockholm syndrome, pretty much whereas you're conditioned to believe that you are not worthy and you need to conform to this, that, and the third, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up if you're not familiar with it. Now, a lot of people, including Chris Long, Howie Long's son, Super Bowl winner, now defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, said, if my dirty mullet was acceptable, why should, you know, Kaepernick have to, you know, cut his hair or change his appearance? Then you look at, you know, Matthews, Clay Matthews, you know, the long blonde locks. Look at Troy Polamalu. You look at many other players that had long, straggly beards and looked like, you know, savages from the medieval times. Then and now. The point that I believe Michael Vick unsuccessfully tried to make and was goaded, and I'm going to say he was goaded by Whitlock, because when he was on a Cowherd's show, the same situation came up. And that's where this all stemmed from, because he was doing an interview on The Herd, and Whitlock was sitting in. And he was supposed to be talking about this passing week. But Whitlock asked him the question, and as soon as, you know, Michael Vick said he needs to get a haircut, that's all that, you know, Whitlock wanted to talk about. He didn't want to talk about anything else. And he kept going on it for the entire segment. And then, like, with 30 seconds left in the interview, he talked about, you know, Michael Vick's top 10 or top 5 quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks.
Well, you know.
I know.
He's not a fan of Colin Kaepernick anyway.
No. And he recently put out something about those that are fans of Kaepernick, including some of his co-hosts or co-workers. Now, here's the thing. I believe Michael Vick was trying to say, listen, dude, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. Not at all. If you want to, you know, be this way, be that way. But if you want to play in the NFL, there are certain things that you might have to change or conform to in order to get back in the NFL. Now, it came out totally wrong, and he's recently, I believe today, recanted that statement and tried to clarify. And I agreed with Michael Vick on the fact that the past couple of years of Colin Kaepernick's career has been part of the reason why he hasn't found a job as a starting quarterback. Vick said he should, and he believes he will be a backup quarterback on a team come, you know, the football season. I, too, believe that. A lot of people believe that, except those that are totally anti-Colin Kaepernick, Jason Whitlock being one of them. The thing is this. Kaepernick is going to be who he is regardless. I believe he's evolved in his maturity and understanding of life. Whitlock said, okay, well, he probably has been brainwashed because when he grew up in that white family, and he didn't learn much about his black family or his black heritage because he was adopted, you know, he's been brainwashed to believe da-da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da-da, as opposed to, you know, just accepting what it is. Now, listen, I think Whitlock is a self-hater based upon the things I've seen and he has said, but the issue of Kaepernick's appearance is what grabs the headline, as opposed to the fact that Michael Vick did say he does belong in the NFL. He should be playing. All that got glossed over because he made the statement about the haircut. And Shannon Sharpe and many others have correctly checked Michael Vick on that. There's nothing wrong with making a mistake like that. He came back. He's saying he's taking it back. And Whitlock comes back and says, you don't need to step back from your statement, da-da-da-da. Whitlock goaded him into it. and kept it going and didn't take it as just a tongue-in-cheek statement. So Vic, thinking, okay, well, I got to, you know, justify what I said, said what he said. Now, the thing about it is, he also said he needs somebody like Tony Dungy in his life as a mentor. I agree with that. Tony Dungy has never been one to give in to the man, but he's been one to say, look, all right, there's a time and place for everything. If this is what you want to do, I support you. But when we get on this field, da-da-da, and that's all Kaepernick has been known to do. That's what Kelly said. That's what Chip Kelly said. That's what John Lynch said as well. Only team to ever give him a tryout since this whole situation came about are the Seattle Seahawks. Only team. They're the only ones that I would say would have credibility in this situation as judging if not he needs to play or be a backup in the NFL. Because they gave him an opportunity. They saw if he could help that team. Another thing Vic said that nobody paid attention to is Kaepernick cannot go to a team that plays a traditional offense. He does not excel at that. He excels in a spread-style offense. Several teams do that now. Not a lot, but several do. Now, if he can develop, he's only, what, 30? If he can develop as a better center quarterback, just like Donovan McNabb was, because Donovan was the same way until he got with Andy Reid. Then he became a threat under the center and, you know, from shotgun. That is the part that people aren't talking about that Michael Vick said that actually made sense. They're only worried about the negative part he said about the haircut. So that's why I say I can agree with Michael Vick on some of the things he said. Not the haircut, but some of the things he said. And if people were to listen to the entire interview on both, on Cowherd's Herd, as well as Speak for Yourself, you would have heard him say that. But some people don't want to hear it. And, again, I don't like Whitlock. I've grown to not like his stance. Being where I'm at, I've learned a little bit about his history as a columnist for the Kansas City Chiefs and his time at ESPN. And what he's done now, you know, Charlamagne the God pointed out a lot of things about him. And a lot of his co-workers have agreed with what Charlamagne has said, black and white. So take it for what it's worth. I get off my soapbox. I yield the floor to Jeff.
Okay. I don't have a problem with guys with long hair. I used to have long hair. I mean, the thing is, though, if you're looking for a new job, you put on a suit, you get a haircut, you know? I mean, yeah, it's a free country, you know. I once heard John Elway say if he was commissioner, he'd have a law, he'd make a rule against long hair. And I thought to myself, man, that's a stupid Mr. Ed-looking MF. You know, I'm not a big John Elway fan, but I do have to give him a little respect because he's done a much better job with the Broncos than I thought he ever would. I think Kaepernick probably could get a haircut. I don't think it would make a difference. Michael Vick, since, you know, he's been released from prison, he hasn't put his foot in his mouth too many times. You know, last year when RG3 went to Cleveland, I thought he should get a haircut. Just, you know, new job, new look, you know. And, you know, I mean, believe me, I have no problem with his hair. But RG3, just knowing he's Republican, he's from a military family. I'm like, is that the right hairstyle for him? But, hey, if he digs it, then it's cool. But, you know, the thing is, when I had long hair, some people, I mean, I had, like, butt-length hair almost. I had really long hair. And it cracked me up that some people gave me so much grief over it. And I'm like, listen, I could cut this tomorrow if I wanted. It's not permanent, you know? And just like, you know, and then, like, you know, people would assume I had tattoos or something because I had long hair. I'm like, no, I don't have tattoos because, you know, Jewish folks aren't real big on tattoos. There are Jews with tattoos, but, you know, for the most part, you know, if you're even the slightest bit religious or observant, if you're Jewish, you don't get ink, you know. And we're not big on the body piercings either. And I'm not down with that. But that's me. That's my opinion, whatever. But, you know, there's a, you know, look at Fitzgerald. You know, he's got real long hair. Braids. Is it braids or dreads with him? From a distance, it's hard to tell. But you know, when he said, I think he's had that hairstyle his whole career, and he's, you know, very well respected. But, you know, the thing is with Kaepernick, yeah, he's free to take a knee, and potential employers are free to say, gee, we don't like that. Now, I think a good spot for him would be Seattle, but he might be looking for more money than they could afford to pay him. But I think someone else said it, but that would be the right city, the right teammates, I think. Wilson doesn't miss a lot of games, but, you know, he's been taking his lumps. And believe me, if Wilson was out a couple games and Kaepernick was going to start, you can't do much better for a backup quarterback than Kaepernick. But he messed up, you know. He chose to express himself that way. I kind of have mixed feelings about it. And, you know, NFL teams, you know, they're not football teams. They're corporations. Corporations do not want distractions from backups. And at this point, he's a backup. He's a good backup, but he's still a backup. You know, why do you think maybe Tim Tebow, maybe if he wasn't such a distraction and he's not a bad guy, you know, NFL teams don't want that kind of distraction, that kind of circus from a third-string quarterback. Same thing with Manziel, who I heard some teams might be interested in him, but I think Manziel's going to have to go to Canada or even the Arena League for a year or something just to show he could go a whole season without messing up, you know. But, you know, it's funny, like with Kaepernick, I'm thinking maybe he should go with cornrows, because there's a lot of white people. They see a black guy or a mixed guy with cornrows, and it blows their mind. They hate cornrows, you know. There's something about that hairstyle that rubs a lot of Caucasians the wrong way.
I don't understand that. Why? It's just a hairstyle.
I don't know.
Just like purple spiked hair.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the perception is that when you see cornrows, that's somebody who's militant. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't have an issue with it. You know, it's so funny because there's a lady in my building. She's got a 5-year-old son. So at that point, it's pretty much the parents are calling the shots on the hairstyle. And he's white, and he's got curly hair, though, and she's got his hair in cornrows. And I'm just thinking, maybe she gives him that hair so he could assimilate more at school, or I don't know. I smile every time I see that kid, you know. Like I said, I'm a long hair guy, but, you know, I don't know. I don't see what the big deal is. I'll tell you, I heard that there used to be a couple of I'm trying to think. One guy's name was McKenzie. A couple defensive backs. There have been more than a couple of guys with long braids or long dreads on the Packers. And I heard that part of the reason they did it is because there's no good barbershop for black guys in Green Bay, so it's easier to keep up your hair with braids or dreads than it is to have to find a barbershop in Green Bay, you know?
I don't know. I don't know about that. All right, let's move on to another thing, subject. Still in the NFL, well, the NFL was ripe with controversy or guys not getting paid or getting paid or wanting to get paid and not getting paid. And I think Mr. FSP knows where I'm going here. To his team, with his quarterback. Yeah, my quarterback. Yes, my quarterback. For the Washington that Washington team. Kirk Cousins said a long-term deal was closer than people would think, but that he wasn't rushing into accepting the team's proposal or counter. He didn't necessarily dispute the team's version that he didn't come back with his own proposal, but he said he was at peace with the decision and that he needed more time. Now, up until the Super Bowl and up until now, they've probably been going back and forth or whatever, knowing that both sides knowing that rather than have a franchise tag, you need to get a long-term deal done. Kirk Cousins said, up until a week ago, I was praying over whether we should send them an offer. I felt peace about not making an offer and leaving it in the team's court. He also said he spoke with team president Bruce Allen often over the weekend and emphasized the need for more time to make a long-term decision. Now, that means he's going to be playing this year for $23.94 million, basically $24 million, his second straight year on the franchise tag. Next year, if they try to franchise tag him or whatever, it's going to be like $34 million, some crazy amount. But my thing is this, and I'm going to ask Mr. FSP first before I go to Jeff, because this quite naturally is his team and his quarterback. He said he needed more time. Well, this is July going into training camp next week. And ever since the end of the year, football year, after the Super Bowl, and he included last year, there was a lot of time in between now and back a few months. And you still need more time? Victor, give me some clarification or try to make sense of what just took place this last week.
Oh, it's real easy. It's really easy. Kirk Cousins wants to go play for San Francisco. And he knows that if he is given the same amount of money that he was offered in a 5-year deal, he'll make within the 3 years if they franchise him again or they transition him. So next year, if they franchise him, that's $35 million more, right? So over the past 2 years, he's made $24,000-$25,000 each year. That's $50 million, I should say, in 2 years. And next year, if they transition him, that's another $24-$26 million. And if they franchise him, $35 million. So here's the deal. Why sign a contract for a 5-year deal and make less money? Contractually, he would, like Bruce Allen said, he would be the second highest paid quarterback, you know, in the NFL. Right now, he's the fourth, I believe, sitting behind Matt Stafford. No, he's above Matt Stafford, above Drew Brees of all people, behind David Carr and Joe Flacco. So per year, he's already making more than Tom Brady, making more than, you know, Aaron Rodgers and all these other cats. And here's the thing, and a lot of people haven't said it. Ike Taylor said it on NFL Network, and I agree 100% with him. Am I going to give a guy that is over 500 when playing teams under 500, but under 500 playing teams over 500, a multi-year deal that makes him one of the highest-paid players in the NFL? My answer is no. I'm okay with him leaving. I'm okay with him going to the, because if they tag him with a transition tag, 20-something million or whatever the case may be, then the 49ers, who want him, and maybe another team might want him, they'll go ahead and give him a contract offer. He'll accept it, and the Redskins will then have to either match it or get compensatory picks. It's a smart business move. They're going to get the picks because they're going to transition them again next year. That's $71 million going out the door, you know, and you got Reed's contract coming up. You've got a few other players that you want to keep coming up as well. But that $71 million out the door, in return, you get probably a couple first rounds or a couple high draft picks. I would say nothing.
Hello? Victor? Victor?
Well, I think
Hello,
we're having
Victor.
Technical difficulties.
Okay. Hello?
Oh, there we go.
Victor, you're breaking up. I can't hear a word you're saying.
I'm getting past the run the ball. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
No, I was saying the defense has got to do its job, and the running game has to do its job. It's not all on Kirk. Kirk, not Kirk. I'm not trying to be Bruce, but Kirk is got a position. He holds all the cards. He can either say, you know, I'll play year to year, not a problem. You'll pay me $24 million every year. Next year you'll pay me $36 million. Not a problem. I'll be close to a billionaire in 3 years just by playing 16 games with you guys. And if we make the playoffs, we make the playoffs. If we don't, we don't. Because you're taking all the talent away from me. DeSean Jackson is gone. Pierre Garçon is gone. You bring in Terrell Pryor, who played one good year as a wide receiver. Now, granted, he's 6'7", can jump out the room, you know, out the gym, can play a little quarterback as well, but has dedicated himself to being an elite, you know, receiver. You team him up with Dotson, who's a second-year guy, Crowder, who's a third-year guy, who's actually very good, but no one's scared of him. You openly say you don't know who your running back is, and you're going to go with the hot hand throughout the season. Dumbest move ever. You got a defense that's good but young and trying to find its way. So if I'm Bruce Allen and I'm Doug Williams, I'm like, okay, well, you know, let them do it. I'll grab somebody in the draft. I'll groom them next year. You know, I'll do something that is more likely than not pleasing to the fan base, but in a year or two, I'll have somebody that I can actually use. So, granted, there aren't going to be too many, you know, stud free agents out there next year. Although Matthew Stafford's contract is up next year, you know, I don't see him leaving Detroit, but he's a good guy to get, a good vet. A few others are leaving. If things are working in Jacksonville, Blake Broyles might be on the chopping block, you know. Alex Smith might be available next year, and he's a proven winner who can also get you to that level, and he fits right into the system. Short. Tight end friendly. So I'm looking at it from that perspective as a GM and as a fan. Go ahead. You know, Kirk, go to San Fran, give me a couple picks, and we'll move from there. So that's my perspective on it, JT. It might not have been what you thought it would be, but I'm okay with the move the organization is doing. I honestly thought Kirk Cousins was a good quarterback coming out of college, but not a guy that's going to lead this franchise in the state that it's in. He needs to go to a team that has a strong defense and a strong running game in order for him to be successful. Because if he doesn't have that, he can't beat the better teams. That's all I got.
What about you, Jeff?
You know, I mean, this whole situation is a little strange. You know, I'm okay with it. You know, it's like, you know, the Redskins don't want to marry this guy, for lack of a better term. Hey, he's still getting paid very well in the meantime. And, you know, you just don't see these situations a lot because NFL quarterbacks are at such a premium. But the thing is, you know, maybe a guy similar in talent to Cousins is Joe Flacco. You know, he's a good quarterback, but he's not elite. And, you know, he played to the end of his contract, which you don't see that much. Worked out great for him with the Super Bowl win and then the big-time contract. And then part of the problem was with that big contract, his supporting cast wasn't as good and, you know, hasn't done so well since. But, you know, that's the way it goes. And I guess maybe after 2015 – maybe the Redskins were afraid, you know, maybe he's a one-year wonder or something. But, you know, last year he threw for almost 5,000 yards, not too shabby. But the way it is now, I mean, one's going to be the first guy to pass for 6,000 yards. It's getting crazy. But, you know, this just goes to show you the system because I'm so glad they changed the whole – the rookie, I'm glad they put in the rookie pay scale because it was nuts when they were throwing crazy money at unproven guys. At least with Cousins, he's done something. And at least he's not, you know, one of these backups who has two good games and then they make him a multimillionaire like a Matt Flynn or, you know, many years before that, Rob Johnson. At least Cousins has done something.
I was saying Mitchell, Detroit.
Yeah, right. There's another one. Yeah, two good games in Miami, and then Detroit, you know, makes the guy a millionaire. You know, this is just, you know, some, I don't know, it's like a diversion almost, like a little soap opera down in Washington. But, you know, the thing is, Cousins came into the league as a fourth-round pick. You know, that's a third draft day, and those guys who are later picks or free agents, you know, they're like the Rodney Dangerfields, you know. It's like they have a good year, their first good season, everybody wonders if it was a fluke or something. You know, these guys, they got to fight harder than they should for their respect. I remember after Tom Brady's first big year, people, you know, were like, oh, it's just one year. You know, no, Kurt Warner, same thing. I was like, it's just a, you know, 1 year. Nope. He put a lot of other good years beside it. But I guess part of the reason why you don't want to, you know, give a lot of money to a quarterback after just one season, you don't want to get, you know, be stuck with a Derek Anderson because that guy was a one-year wonder. But, hey, he's still in the league as a backup, you know. And actually Cleveland made out okay because they gave him a new contract, but they made it cap friendly. So they didn't take a beating on that. But, you know, this goes way back. I remember when I was a kid, like late round draft picks, like Richard Dent would have to fight for every nickel, you know? And then the first round picks just boom, they just start throwing money at him. And some of these guys just get overpaid for most of their careers, you know? I don't know. I don't know what to think of this thing in Washington. It's a little strange, but it's a very loyal fan base. And if he goes to San Francisco and resurrects that team, they'll never hear the end of it. And the thing is, and I've seen this with the Giants, you know, believe me, I loved Phil Simms when I was a kid. He was my favorite player. But, you know, I was like 10 his first season with the Giants, and you could tell he was injury prone early in his career. You could tell he was very promising. Giant fans didn't get off his jock until he won a Super Bowl. I mean, he was not popular with the Giant fans, but then after that, he walked on water for the rest of his career. In between Phil Simms and Eli Manning, you know, there were guys like Dave Brown and Kent Graham and Danny Cannell. One guy was pretty good. I liked Kerry Collins because he was good at getting it to the wideouts as opposed to Kent Graham, king of the dink and dunk. The reason the quarterbacks get the big bucks is because you don't want to be one of these lousy teams with playing three different quarterbacks every year and going into the season every year or two with a different starter on opening day, because those teams usually stink. You know, but the thing is, you know, you want to win big. You got to have an elite guy, you know, a Brady, a Peyton Manning, a Drew Brees. But there's only a few of those. And paying the big bucks to a guy who's just good, like Cousins or Flacco, and paying him the elite bucks isn't going to make him elite. He's still going to be just very good, making elite money. You know, so it just goes to show you how important that position is.
Okay. Well, you guys touched on two quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford and Kirk Cousins. I'm going to give you a quiz here. You know what 5-46 is? What quarterback has that against winning teams? Matthew Stafford or Kirk Cousins?
I'd say probably Matthew Stafford.
Okay. Quite naturally, the telltale sign is it's 51 games. Kirk Cousins hasn't played that many.
Stafford probably has more starts than Cousins, so.
Yes, Matthew Stafford against teams with a winning record is 5-46, and he's set to sign a huge contract. Kirk Cousins against teams with 9-plus wins is 2-11. Against teams with 8-plus wins is 5-13. But you guys, especially Victor, knocked Kirk Cousins because – you don't consider him a top-notch quarterback, but the quarterback in Detroit has only won 5 games out of 51. That's, what, 10%? 10% of the game. Wait a minute. The 10% of the games he's played against winning teams, he's won. 5-46. And you sound like you have a higher regard of Matthew Stafford than you do of Kirk Cousins.
I do.
5-46. He's played 51 games, and he's only won 3 more games than Kirk Cousins has won.
And
what?
You know why? You know why? Look who they played. The Redskins. Since Kirk Cousins has been a part of the team, they played a lot of bottom feeders. A lot.
Oh, see, now you're making excuses up. Excuses up. Come on. Wait a minute. You're making excuses up. They play the Cowboys and the Giants. The Philadelphia Eagles twice a year. So that's 6 games that they play, home and away.
There are 16 games they play. 6 out of 16 leaves you 10 games. And those are either versus people in your conference and then people in the other conference. And what you get is a bunch of how many times have the Skins played, let's say –
so let me ask you, what's the excuse with Matthew Stafford? He's won only 3 games against 9-plus win teams. He's only won 5 games. He's only won 5 games out of 51 with teams with a winning record.
I'll say this. Matthew Stafford I didn't think he earned that money that they gave him to begin with, in that first contract, or the second contract, I should say. I never said that. What I'm saying is, if I'm going to give somebody that type of money next year, I'd give it to Stafford because he's proven he can win. And last year he proved he could win without Megatron, even though they didn't go further than, you know, what they did. But they were extremely competitive in all those games. Again,
5-46.
I told you that
with winning
Kirk
records.
Kirk Cousins needs a team with a strong defense and a strong run game. Matthew Stafford just needs a strong running game. The defense is okay. They don't have a strong running game. They didn't have a strong running game either with during Matthew Stafford's tenure. They haven't. But that's not an excuse. What I'm saying is Kirk Cousins is a player coming out of college who I thought would be a good quarterback. Kirk Cousins is not Matthew Stafford when it comes to many things. But if I had to pick between the two to put on the Washington Redskins with the team that the Skins have right now, I would go with Matthew Stafford.
Let me
Maybe
ask you something.
Okay. Go ahead.
Let me ask you something. Who's got the most upside right now, Matthew Stafford or Kirk Cousins?
Of course you're going to say Cousins because he's younger. But I also think that Kirk Cousins suffers from something called low self-esteem, football self-esteem. Because I've seen him on the sidelines when times are tough during games, and he's questioning himself and he's questioning what's going on. And it's like, dude, where's the confidence? I'm not saying Stafford never did that. I didn't say that. But I've seen the confidence that he exhibits when they're winning and the confidence that he's exhibiting when they're losing. And
you can say that about any quarterback, man. Come on, stop.
Well, dude.
I've seen that in Stafford. So, I mean, come on. Stop.
Okay. You might have seen it in Stafford, but you haven't seen it recently. You haven't seen it in the past couple years.
Okay.
You haven't seen it in the past couple years.
I disagree with that. What do you got to say, Jeff?
You know, something interesting about Kirk Cousins is, I'll tell you, going back to when he was drafted in the fourth round, that's the kind of thing that makes me think the NFL draft should be abolished. And I know that sounds radical to people, but think about it. It's a restraint of free trade, because the last time I checked, when I graduated from high school, nobody told me, oh, yeah, we got a job for you in Minnesota. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, they could get by without a draft because they would probably still have some kind of salary cap. Just because they've been doing it for decades doesn't make it right, and doesn't mean that it should continue. And I'll tell you, if I was Kirk Cousins, I would have been ticked off being drafted by the same team that traded up to get RG3. And I never understood why the Redskins invested a fourth-round pick for the guy who's supposed to back up RG3. I mean, it worked out well for them, but maybe they should have invested in a veteran backup, because they said, Griffin isn't stupid. He knew Cousins could play, so they didn't have a good relationship. But if they would have brought in a veteran backup who was comfortable in that role, it would have probably been a much better relationship and maybe could have helped develop RG3. And if I was Collins, if he was in a similar situation, and, you know, in the 80s or something, he could have gone to the USFL for more money, not being stuck being a backup for a few years, or, you know, or Canada for a little while was a good option for some guys. But I thought to myself, no, you know, I mean, the thing is, you don't feel too bad for the guy, because I think he was making at least, you know, $300,000-$400,000, you know, on that, you know, that rookie contract. But it's ridiculous that, you know, the NFL draft still exists.
Okay. We got one caller that I'm going to bring in real quick. I think I know who this is from the 404. I think he's from Atlanta, Georgia. I think it's Nas, but if not, caller from the 404, welcome to the FSP Crew Show. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
Yeah, you got it right. It's Nas, man. What's up, man? How y'all doing?
All right. Long time no speak to, man. My man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, good to hear y'all going through the roles, man. Y'all hitting some of this stuff hard. And, man, that conversation with Cousin Stafford, though, is a tough one, though. Because Stafford has arm talent that you don't see every draft, and mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins isn't every draft. He's a quarterback who needs everything around him, but he's not the centerpiece that you give $30 million a year to, which is why the Redskins are kind of, you know what I mean? They're kind of just looking at this, you know, limbo that they're in now because he's not that kind of quarterback. So I think they're going to wait on him to fall on his face or force his way out, but he's not the answer. And it's kind of sad that we've kind of made quarterbacking into a religion. So all team success goes to the quarterback. All team failure goes to the quarterback. But then when you start to break it down and, you know, just try to piece by piece it, you start to see, like, okay, he doesn't actually throw the deep ball well. He's not good inside the red zone. He actually misses a lot of targets. And Jay Gruden and the coach for the Chargers now actually had a really good scheme there for him to thrive in, and it's making him look better than what he actually is. And they're not stupid. They watch film.
Okay. What do you say about the stats that I put out there about, and it's not fake news. This is actual stats. Matthew Stafford is 5-46 against teams with a winning record. Only won 5 games out of 51, 10%. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, that's the danger of Matt Stafford, though. It's Jay Cutler all over again. All of the arm talent that any coach can talk themselves into saying, I'll be able to rein him in, I'll be able to get him to play consistently, I'll get him to stop making the stupid mistakes, but we just haven't seen it. And hopefully some coach benefits someday and we finally see, you know, Matt Stafford make the right reads, don't get, you know, happy feet in the pocket. Like, all the problems at Georgia, they all still exist now for Matt Stafford. But that arm talent, man, has driven many a coach into the into getting that pink slip, man. That arm talent will get you every time because you chase it. Like, people don't throw like Matt Stafford did. Like, you don't find guys like that all the time.
That's true. All right. We went into a little bit of an overtime. I got to cut out of here. I want to thank you, Nas. Sorry for the short stay. Hopefully you call back next week or call back over the weekend and we can converse a little bit more. But we do appreciate every time call because you bring a good conversation every time you jump in. I want to thank Victor also for jumping in here and joining the conversation on Thursday night. And quite naturally, my fellow Jersey guy, Double J, my brother from another mother, always appreciate you spending the time that we do. Starting from the 8 o'clock hour until now. For all those who listen to us or listen to us in the archives, we'll be back next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as always. Enjoy the rest of your week. Training camp for the NFL is right around the corner, about a week away. Your favorite team is going to be gearing up and getting themselves together to play that first game in the early part of September. And your football enthusiasts are going to be happy when that comes about. So, from me and yours to you and mine, see ya.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case.